From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings part three of a message called Successful Christian Living, as he continues this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You have seen the arch of heaven as it spans the plain. Glorious are its colors, and rare its hues. It is beautiful, but alas, it passes away, and lo, it is not. The fair colors give way to the fleecy clouds, and the sky is no longer brilliant with the tints of heaven. It is not established. How can it be? A glorious show made up of transitory sunbeams and passing raindrops, how can it abide? The graces of the Christian character must not resemble the rainbow in its transitory beauty, but on the contrary, must be established, settled, abiding. Seek, O believer, that every good thing you have may be an abiding thing. May your character not be a writing upon the sand, but an inscription upon the rock. May your faith be no baseless fabric of a vision, but may it be builded of material able to endure that awful fire which shall consume the wood, hay, and stubble of the hypocrite. May you be rooted and grounded in love. May your convictions be deep, your love real, your desires earnest. May your whole life be so settled and established that all the blasts of hell and all the storms of earth shall never be able to remove you. But notice how this blessing of being established in the faith is gained. The apostle's words point us to suffering as the means employed. After that ye have suffered a while. It is of no use to hope that we shall be well rooted if no rough winds pass over us. Those old gnarlings on the root of the oak tree, and those strange twistings of the branches all tell of the many storms that have swept over it, and they are also indicators of the depth into which the roots have forced their way. So the Christian is made strong and firmly rooted by all the trials and storms of life. Shrink not, then, from the tempestuous winds of trial, but take comfort, believing that by their rough discipline, God is fulfilling this benediction to you.
Unclear. Jesus, I'm glad I know.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, you may contact us by phone if you wish at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Hayward Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Hayward Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As Joshua and the children of Israel prepared to enter the Promised Land, God reminded him of a number of important lessons, that which is applicable for Christians in every age. He emphasized the promise of inevitable victory through His power, the prospect of imminent blessing, and the stipulations for claiming the land step by step. In verse 8 of chapter 1, we hear one of the most famous verses in the entire book of Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. These words give us God's definition of success, quite different from what the world thinks. Knowing God is real success and prosperity. Further, we see the importance of being in the center of God's will, being where the Lord would have us to be, even as Joshua was. Then God had already promised the land, but it was up to Joshua and the army of Israel to possess their possessions. The same is true of every Christian. Now to continue this message, Successful Christian Living, here is Dr. Cairns.
The Apostle Paul gives us his attitude to the will of God. He has gone to great lengths in other epistles to say, I am an apostle by the will of God. Now he's writing to the church in Rome, and he says, I make request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul is saying, I'm willing to go to Rome if God wills. Now when he went to Rome, he went as a prisoner. When he went to Rome, he went as a candidate for martyrdom. But he was willing even for that, if that were the will of God, just to know God's will. It was said of Epaphras in Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. What was he praying for? Epaphras was a minister of the church in Colossae. What was he praying for? That ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, knowing our place in the will of God, and taking that place, and doing God's will. That is successful living. And that's why the apostle pleaded in Romans 12, that he said, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world. Isn't that always the bugbear of Christians? Isn't that what trips them up? Isn't that the thing that keeps them from doing the will of God? Conformity to the world? The fear of man? Feeling that they have to go along? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, in order that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One lady writer said, it is surprising to observe how much more anybody may become by simply being always in His place. How much more anybody may become by simply always being in His place. That's success. Taking our place in the center of God's will. Look again at Joshua. You'll find it's facing the challenge of possessing our possessions. Now the Lord set before Joshua a good land. He said it's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's a land of oil olives, a land of figs and pomegranates and vines. It's a land that gets the former and the latter rain. It's a land that the Lord looks upon, smiles upon. It's the land of God's provision. A land of fullness, a land of fatness, a land of the favor of God. It's a good land. It's the land He set before them. What He was saying to Joshua is, Joshua, don't sit on the outside on the borders of Canaan. Don't sit even just inside the borders of Canaan. Don't be satisfied to come through Gilgal, conquer Jericho, and then settle down. Joshua, he says, there is a whole land before you. It's a land of fullness, and your challenge is to possess your possessions in the Lord. And it's exactly the same with God's people. The Lord has set before us a land of spiritual fullness. As in the case of Joshua, there are many adversaries. We will either be content to sit on the borders of great blessing, or else we will go in to possess the land. This is what Paul constantly exhorted the people of God to do. He encouraged them urgently to go in for the fullness of Christ. You'll have gathered from my many references to it that the book of Ephesians is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. And Paul has two tremendous prayers for the people of God in chapter 1. Then again in chapter 3, starting at verse 14. And there he gives them the reason why he bows his knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He shows them the burden of his heart. And that, how does it culminate? He says that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What does he mean? Well, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's God's will for us. That's the challenge. Now, if you're saved today, there will be many obstacles to you going on with God. There will be your Jerichos, your Ais, and all these other strongholds of sin and opposition. It's not easy to go on with God into the fullness of Jesus Christ. By easy, I mean unopposed. It's certainly not unopposed. But the Lord says, there is your possession. What has Jesus Christ purchased for his people? Did the Lord die simply to purchase the sort of half-life that most Christians have? Did the Lord shed his blood that most Christians should be living in defeat or living in the agony and frustration that so mars our daily living? Or did he die that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly? Did he die to give us the overflowing life, the life that has the fullness of God? I think he makes it clear. This is the reason why he came, to destroy the works of the devil, to give us life more abundant. He says, he that believeth in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Many commentators take that to be a description of the water flowing from the people of God. Others, and I think probably with more right in their side, take it to be a reference to Christ as the great source of all the fullness of living waters. But the truth of the matter is that God's will for his people is fullness. You take, I've referred to John 7 there, and the fullness of the rivers. You take the three great references to the water of life in the Gospel of John. In John 3, you're born of water and of the Spirit. I said when I was dealing with John 3 some months ago, that is a figure of speech that is called hendiades. It is using two terms to speak of one thing. Water and the Spirit is simply a figure of speech that says you're born of that spiritual water. The Old Testament is full of references to spiritual water, especially the prophecy of Ezekiel. It's the new birth he's talking about. There's the water of salvation, bringing you to life. John 4, he says to the woman at the well, whoso drinketh of this water, of Jacob's well, shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Water in John 3 is salvation. Water in John 4 is inner satisfaction. But when you get to John 7, you've got the fullness. And here you've service. And it's only when you get to the fullness that you can really be of much service. This is what the Lord has died for. This is the purpose of God for his people. To get into the fullness. That's the promised land. I wonder, are you facing the challenge of going in? Or have you simply settled down on the borders of Canaan, saved and thoroughly stuck? That's not success. Successful Christian living is facing the challenge of possessing our possessions. I wonder, can the words of Obadiah verse 17 be said of us? Upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. What has God promised us individually? What has God promised us for our families? What has God promised us for our church? What has God promised us for our public service? Let us lay hold on what God has promised. Let us see what our possessions really are and face the challenge and go possess them in the name of Jesus Christ. That is success. Another detail in Joshua you will see is maintaining our separation unto God. First thing Joshua had to do when he came through the Jordan into the promised land was to come to the place called Gilgal. Gilgal was the place where the covenant of circumcision was renewed. It was the place of rolling away shame. It was the place of dealing with the accretions of sin and the accumulation of backsliding. Gilgal was the place of getting right with God and separating their lives afresh unto the Lord. What is success in the Christian life? It is living a separated life unto God. It is maintaining the covenant of a circumcised heart. It is maintaining a life of strict and utter separation unto Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, you have very famous verses that have usually been quoted in fundamentalist churches as a reason to separate from denominational apostasy. And certainly these verses teach that. But unfortunately, in so applying them, we have forgotten the personal application. This is what they say, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. Now the unclean thing in Corinth may have been an idol. But looking at the context of the Corinthian letters, it may have been immoral living. Or it may have been declining standards of separation. Or it may have been a backbiting tongue or a device of spirit. Or it may have been doctrinal laxity. All these unclean things were afflicting the church in Corinth. And the apostle says, come out from among them and be ye separate and do not touch that unclean thing. There's a wealth of wisdom there. Now I'm going to be very brutally frank with you, as I am with myself. We've got to learn this. Christians will often come lamenting to God when they're defeated. And they cry for forgiveness and they pray for grace. But the very next time they come in contact with the thing that defeated them, they touch it, they fondle it, they embrace it. And then at the last minute they want to step back from it. And you can't do that. You put your feet in fire. Don't ask God to stop you getting blistered. It's not going to happen. You're going to be burned. Touch not the unclean thing. Separate from it. That's success, because the Lord goes on to say, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Separation from sin in order to communion with God. It's the great rationale for separated living. I will receive you. I'll be a father unto you. And you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What is success in the Christian life? Maintaining your separation. It's victory over sin. It's communion with God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.